This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
Let's talk about what's going on at the NFL annual meetings. Our man Mark Raimondi is down there, and he covers the team. I'm talking about our Falcons for ESPN and ESPN.com. Mark, I know you got a chance.
I'm actually not there, Carl. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, you're back. Okay. I didn't know. Because here's the deal. Everybody was saying a lot of stuff today, and there was a lot of stuff coming out. Tell me what caught your ear, or at least caught your eye, when it comes to what was said, specifically from Raheem Morris, because I've been saying to our listeners, they've been saying the same message, like, especially when it comes to Kirk Cousins, and now, we're 2 months into, or 3 months into what we've been saying about Cousins. Nothing's really changed on their end, has it?
It hasn't changed, and, it's getting to the point where, maybe this kind of stuff is great for us guys. Like, it's good copy, right? It's good chatter about Kirk Cousins. But honestly, if you're a Falcons fan, like I'm kind of feeling like a lot of conversation is being put toward a guy that's not going to contribute to your team in 2025. You know what I mean? Right. Like it's obvious that the Falcons would love to trade him and not to pay that $27.5 million that he's owed, plus a $10 million on the back end in 2026. I think that's pretty obvious from what Arthur Blank said today. And then, Raheem Morris saying that he doesn't expect Kirk Cousins to be at OTAs, which is something that, we had heard, right? That was a report from several weeks ago. Not a huge surprise there, but again, like it's the offseason. This is a team that, it could be a playoff contender in 2025, and we're talking about a guy who's not going to get on the field most likely for the Falcons. Might be in uniform, but he's probably not going to be on the field.
We were just talking last segment, Mark, about, what the draft strategy is going to be. Is there a chance they go offensive tackle?
You know what? I was actually having this conversation with our good pal, Mike Rothstein, my predecessor on the beat. And, I'm gonna shout him out because he said he believes that wouldn't be the worst idea to get an offensive tackle because Jake Matthews has obviously been a stalwart for so long. But, he's getting up there in age. And Caleb McGarry has done a solid job at right tackle. But now he has to cover Michael Penix Jr.'s blind side, because Penix is a lefty. So it may not be the worst idea to kind of, kick the tires on a potential if there's a guy that they like. We know the Falcons, right? If there's a guy that they think is a can-miss guy at number 15, regardless of position, they're going to take him, and that maybe that guy is an offensive tackle.
Yeah, I talked about this yesterday. They went to the University of Texas and looked at Calvin Banks. He is considered a top pick in this draft at left tackle, and I'm not saying they're going to take him, but both Fontenot and Raheem Morris were there last week in attendance. To your point, that screams, hey, they are at least doing the work that is required to have this, on the big board, and if it comes to this, maybe they do it. But it is interesting. Let's talk about what our owner had to say today, because Arthur Blank was asked about a lot of this stuff as well. Mm-hmm. And look, the thing for me is with Arthur Blank, he's supportive, but he's also very firm in, I think, his decisions once decisions are made, right? But he also gives the leeway to allow the decision makers, whether it be Terry or Raheem, to make the decisions. And, part of this is now, everybody wants to know what Arthur thinks. And he said he spent an hour on the phone with Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What conversation takes an hour?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and he took five pages of notes, apparently.
Wow.
I think it was a conversation that probably didn't need to take an hour, honestly, because it's what is it, right? It's Kirk Cousins saying, hey, I want to be a starter in the NFL next year. And Arthur Blank saying, like, hey, we would love for you to be a starter in the NFL. probably not going to be here in Atlanta, and we need to figure out a way to trade you, because that takes two to tango. Plus, you need Kirk. You need to waive your no trade clause. So it has to be a situation that he's comfortable with as well. So that was the gist of the conversation. As far as I wasn't listening in all CIA on that call, but I would imagine that was kind of the gist of it. Probably took a little bit longer. There's a lot of respect there. I'm sure there was some small talk. I think that Arthur Blank is a guy that has an affection for his players, and he signed off, and he got to meet Kirk Cousins last year on that deal. You don't spend $100 million unless you get to know somebody a little bit before you put pen to paper. I think that's why the conversation probably didn't need to take an hour, but
right.
If it did, maybe I don't know. Maybe Kirk was talking about the best wings in Atlanta when it was here. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not exactly sure what else was in there, but yeah.
Mark Raimondi.
Maybe he was talking about his recent meeting with Donald Trump in Washington D.C. I'm not sure at the White House. I don't know.
Yeah.
Raimondi's with us, guys, from ESPN. I got the notes, Kyle, by the way, from Arthur's meeting.
Okay.
Let's see here. Ticked off that we drafted a quarterback. Let's see here. Narcissist. Phony. Axe the grind at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Looking for leverage. Yeah, I mean, that's like, as we said, we don't know where this goes. And should we just be assuming we're never going to see a draft pick this year? Whatever we get. Not to go to another network. Actually, he's part of ESPN. Bill Barnwell said we wouldn't get anything more than a seventh. And we'd still have to pay basically $25 million of the 37 to get rid of Kirk Cousins this year.
Who knows? And then there's the reports, of course, that Cousins won't even discuss waiving the no trade clause until after the draft anyway. So
just to screw us.
It's kind of. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Just screw us, Mark. Say it. Just screw it.
For him, and I think we talked about this last week, right? For him, it's like, he wants a place where there's not going to be someone breathing down his neck. There's not going to be that number one draft pick, that top draft pick. He wants to go there and be comfortable as the starter. Apparently, that's what the reports say, right?
Right.
But if does that situation exist? I don't know. Is he going to find a better situation than the one he's going to be in Atlanta? Because he's not going to be starting at all in Atlanta. So who knows?
What do you make of the rule changes that have happened so far? Or at least the ones that have been approved. They did table the tush push, guys, if you're just joining us.
Yeah.
They're not gonna, do anything.
Raheem
right
Morris,
now.
Not a big fan of the tush push, guys. He's really against the tush push.
Is he getting pushback from that by other coaches though?
I don't think so, because it does seem like there are a lot of coaches, and a lot of them are actually kind of in the McVay tree, right? They don't like the tush push. Because Green Bay has been one of them, and LaFleur is a McVay guy, so it seems like those guys don't love that maneuver all that much. But to me, stop the play. You know what I mean? I don't see they've been doing it for many years, and I haven't seen any health issues or any kind of injury issues that have come from that play. Right? At least nothing that's been apparent. They could kind of take a look at it maybe for a year and see what it is. But I don't see anything. I don't see anything sinister about that play. Really,
no.
not the greatest football play in the world, but it's
no.
It's,
I mean, at first we said the Commanders game, as Mark Raimondi from ESPN joins, is the NFC Championship game where they had that sequence of three or four plays. That was about as bad as it gets. I'm just of the opinion.
Right.
Look, if you come up with something that's in the rules and you can do it, and now no one else can do it, so we're going to ban it. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's
right. You got to figure out how to stop it.
I said to Carl, I don't know where you fall on this, but is it ego with some of these offensive coordinators? I mean, you mentioned the McVay tree. You can't get short yardage. The Falcons can never get short yardage. Why don't we put Algier back there and do it if they're going to let you push a guy forward?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of agree with you though, Mike. I really do think that there's no such thing as a cheat code in the NFL. It's like if you come up with something like you said that works well, which this does. Then the onus, is on the defense to try to stop it, and then vice versa. If the defense comes up with some kind of, it's how it goes. It's a league that's ever evolving, ever adapting, and you got to adapt. You can't stop the tush push. Let's figure out a way.
We got word, I guess you may have known, Ryan Nuzel, he's going to be our starting center. I guess Terry confirmed that today. Do we know about the contract and what that looks like?
I mean, they tendered it. So he was not an unrestricted free agent. He was a restricted free agent. I think the cap hit is in the $3 million range.
Okay.
A little bit over $3 million. So they tendered the contract. No one like matched the deal or anything. So yeah, it seems like he is, which is kind of what we all expected, right? That he's going to be at least the starting center, you know, from now, and then they'll bring in someone to compete with him.
All right, buddy, 23 days away from the draft, and obviously it's become bigger and bigger every year up at Lambeau. Do you feel that right now, is it still edge rush? Because I've seen Mykael Williams anywhere from the top 10 to down to the top 15. I've seen Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. I think that's not a bad pick for us generally. But do you still think it's going to be an edge rush guy?
You know, probably, but you know what? It's going to depend on how things go. You know, are they going to be able to trade down? Will there be a guy that maybe they like that falls to them? Maybe a defensive tackle or a corner, maybe a safety. You know, there's right. guys that are good at those positions. You know, when you're a team that has the holes the Falcons do, you know, you might be able to, you know, look, we all know they need a pass rush. We all know they need an edge, right? That's not a surprise. That's been, you know, it's been said ad nauseum for years and years and years, long before I've been here. But they might find some guy that drops. There might be a Kenneth Grant that drops, and why, you know, you'd be crazy not to take him at 15, right? If he gets there, Will Johnson, you know, guys like that. So I would say, like, they're probably going to go into it thinking edge rusher, but it's going to have to develop and see. Maybe they end up with an offensive tackle. It's certainly not going to be a quarterback, I'll say that.
that we know. Mark, man, we got to run. Great stuff as always. Appreciate you dropping in. News dropping about, you know, rule changes. As a matter of fact, Mike, this just came down. I guess he's not done. Calais Campbell signing a one-year deal with the Cardinals.
How about that? Back to Arizona. The guy, look, he did a good job for Miami. Certainly did a good job for us 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's not done. What is he, 38? I think he's 38 or something like that. Either way, 37. He is back in the league and going to play another
year.
You'd
say, I'm too old for this.
Hey, Mark, thanks again, man. We appreciate you stopping by. All right, we got a lot more to dive into here on the show, including what Grant McCauley is thinking about our Braves. We're not hitting. We're not scoring runs.
No.
We're not doing a whole lot of anything.
You know
right
who kind of trolled us as Braves fans? Our old friend John Heyman from New York.
Yeah.
He said, you think your team's got offensive problems? And he's got a shot basically of all the Braves starting nine stats.
Well, he ain't lying. I mean, I hate to say it.